Michael, commentary. The background for this episode is a sister in Africa going through an extremely painful divorce as now a single parent mom with two children. And her hopes are that very much she can eventually find a husband who is godly, since after waiting for so long for her other husband, her first husband, to come back to Jesus Christ in faith, he did not. She at one point revealed to me that she had prayed to God asking for a godly husband like me. So you're going to hear me mention something about that to her. What I find to be truly remarkable about this recording are a few things. You're going to hear me assure her that I have a promise from God that while I'm walking through the pain of losing Persis to apostasy, I have this promise of resurrection. And I say to her, you're going to see Persis resurrected. I'm leaving this in here for a reason. I've been very open about this. This is where God was hiding something from me. He could have prevented me from saying all these things, just like he could have prevented Abraham from sleeping with Hagar, and he did not. He prevented Abimelech from sleeping with Sarah, but not Abraham from sleeping with Hagar, because he had a purpose beyond what human understanding could then see at the time. So nonetheless, what I find so incredible about this recording is you'll hear me say, I'm sitting around hoping and waiting for my adorable wife to come back because I've told God, I don't want to go through this again. I don't want to have to learn somebody else's problems and go through their brokenness, et cetera, et cetera. But of course, now I'm able to look back and I'm able to see that promises for resurrection that God was giving to me were indeed true. It was just he hadn't given me the full understanding of what that resurrection would be and that it would be in the form of my Lisa. Another thing that's so incredible about this recording is that I'm apologizing to this sister on behalf of the fact that she is single, that she is very strongly desiring a godly husband. And I begin to mention to her that I'm aware with all of the single, broken, divorced, hurting women in my inbox that there have been times where women have wondered. It's just natural. I'm not trying to make myself into being something that would be every woman's desire, but a godly man who has so openly communicated and shared his heart, it became obvious in my inbox that there were women who perhaps would wonder if they could ever see me like that. And I mentioned to her and apologized to her for this. And then what I find incredible is that 7 months after I made this recording, in one day, because of the very issue I'm apologizing to this sister about and making sure that she knows that I'm not available in this way, in any way, I'm still waiting for Persis. Persis is the only one for me. I'm not at all giving in to any of these sisters in my inbox. I have a promise from God. Brothers and sisters, can you see from this one example alone how God needed me to believe that Persis was coming back until the time came when he decided that tree needs to be cut down. Why should it take up the soil any longer? There were many, many, many sisters like this in my inbox or in the comment sections below YouTube videos. And now you can see in the wisdom of God why he would surprise me 7 months later, telling me on one day, get rid of Persis. End it. It's over. And the very next day, now tell Lisa she is to be your wife. God left no time. It happened in the same video virtually that I would make the statement, I'm letting my apostate spouse go, and God has already shown me I'm going to marry again. And I already at that time believed that God had shown me it was Lisa, having no idea the next day he would tell me to tell her as much. And then, of course, you'll eventually have heard her testimony on her website where she explains God told her that I would be contacting her by the very next morning. So brothers and sisters, Romans 8:28, looking back on this, is absolutely amazing. And the resurrection promise that I had indeed came to pass through Lisa, which is something that God has blessed me with beyond words. So that resurrection promise that God had for me has indeed come to pass, but just not as I had originally expected. May God bless you as you listen to the rest of this message. Hello, Grace. It's Brother Michael. God bless you, sister. I'm sorry it took me a little bit of time to get back to you. I am behind on answering quite a few emails as I just continue to stay focused on doing what the Father has asked me to do. Thank you for sending the email, and I just want to tell you, sister, you know from hearing my recordings that I can absolutely identify with your pain and the frustration that you have in the situation you're in right now with your husband and the pain of loneliness. I absolutely get it. I've lived it for years. And so, you know, you've heard these stories, and I just want to tell you that you can, with God's help, if you continue to obey Him, if you continue to hope in Him, and if you continue to draw the very thing that is in your name, grace, every day, God will get you through. You cannot have grace for tomorrow, today, and yesterday's grace will not carry you today. You have to receive it every day. That's the only way that I've been getting through all of the various sufferings that I have. And, you know, the Lord many times will take away that thing that we desired so much in order to help us refocus and find all of our hope and joy in Him. And it doesn't seem possible. It seems painful to try to reckon, hey, I have this desire and it can't be met really with God, it feels. God, you're invisible. You're not there. You can't sleep with me at night and keep me warm. You can't whisper little sweet nothings in my ear. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't be my quote companion. But what I have found is that the Father can give a very real grace in the heart that will enable you to feel as if you have that. And it's real. And I cannot make it without Him. You know, I have suffered so much for so long. For basically 3.5 years, I've had some measure of suffering on an almost daily basis with my wife. Now, there's been lots of good times because my wife is just so adorable and so affectionate with me that even when we were apart in our spiritual differences, for the most part, we still enjoyed a great deal of peace and companionship. But it just, things continue to deteriorate in the spiritual so bad to where eventually, you know what happens. God runs her off and she leaves. And the pain of losing the most precious gift God has ever given me has been excruciating. And yet, sister, I tell you, here I am today with a smile on my face, headed to the mountain to praise the Lord and praying for my wife. You know, every day praying for her, believing that at any time, according to God's purpose, she will come back when the timing is right. And I will drink of that well again, and it will be so refreshing, and it will be so incredible and so wonderful. But I've already found and have had for years this incredible contentment in Christ. And if I keep my eyes on Him and I keep my focus in the Word and I take time to pray and go to Him, if I keep these spiritual disciplines in place, then I'm able to get through that suffering of that real world desire for my spouse. So for example, I'm suffering right now every single day as a prisoner of hope. I could easily let go of my wife, and I've told the Lord, Father, if you want to have her back, if you want to take her from me, if you want to send her back to India, if you never want me to see her ever again, so be it. I know that I will get along just fine. I know I have proven this. God has proven Himself faithful to me in this way. And so I said, Lord, I know I can live without her. But because God has asked me to hope for her grace, oh boy, this is where the pain comes in. Because now you have to have this hopeful expectation of something that you do not have and you do not know when it will come. And it's horrible. Now, sister, you're in a situation where you too understand exactly what I'm talking about. You are a prisoner of hope. Zechariah 9:12. You're in bondage to the desire for your husband and the hope that he will return. And sister, he may return. I don't know what God's will is in that. But I encourage you to find God's will with all of your heart and to open your hands fully to what his will is for your life. Don't just desire, give me my husband back, give me my husband back. Or don't just desire, I want to remarry, I want to remarry. And sister, let me just tell you something. I'm honored that you, I know it was uncomfortable for you to say, and I understand. I have actually prayed for a lot of my single sisters out there who I said, Father, me being single, I know has to cause, I'm not single, but me being in the situation I'm in must cause a lot of your sisters to think, wow, I wish I had a husband like Michael. And I said, God, please don't allow that to go too long for them. I know that has to be painful. I know it has to be painful for all these women out there. There are so many women like you, Grace, who long for a godly companion, somebody to actually be their spiritual head. And I'm telling you, the pickings are very slim. I don't see hardly any godly men. They're out there, but they're very few men. And I have to tell you, I tell most women, including my own son, I've recently, I said, most men are dogs with a capital D, capital O, capital G, dogs. And these are terrible times we're living in. So what is a woman to do? What is a man to do? Okay, so for example, let me just put your mind at ease. Let me give you something that you look at somebody like me and you say, yes, Michael, somebody like you, I would love to have. Listen, sister, I absolutely understand the desire to have a godly husband, just like I have had that desire to have a godly spouse. Okay. I understand it. And trust me, I've talked to the Lord about it. I've said, Father, I bet you there are women who have talked to you about me because they know I'm in this situation. Lord, please bring my wife back. I've had empathy for the pain that my sisters must feel because I've put myself in their shoes and I can imagine how I would feel. So I totally understand. But now watch this. I felt the same way about Persis, okay? And I was so absolutely blown away by who my wife was in her heart. And she was blown away by who I was in Christ. I have emails from my wife, Grace, that say, I love you so much because of your incredible faith and obedience to God. She would just tell me these, that this is the main reason I love you, not because of any money or because of this or because of that. She would tell me regularly, and I absolutely know it and believe it was 100% true. My wife even said, speaking of what my ex-wife did to me, she said, I will never divorce you. I just came across the email yesterday, Grace. I will never divorce you. I would not be such a fool. Who would throw away a jewel like me is what she called me. Okay? And look at what happened. I want you to see that God's desire is for him to be first place in your heart and to meet all of your desires. If you were the only human being living on the planet and there were no men left at all, and it was just you and your two beautiful babies, and that God, enough is alone. I know this isn't what you want to hear, because right now, when you hear this, you're not hearing it when you have the grace to walk in it. If you had the grace and you were walking in it for some time, you'd be saying to me, brother, you are preaching to the choir. That's what you would be saying to me. I know it. You're preaching to the choir. Okay? But see, I'm trying to help you see, I've realized the same thing. That's why I've said, Lord, I don't want to ever remarry. I want my wife back, because I said, no matter who I marry, there's going to be a problem. There's going to be some kind of problem, and it's going to look great on the outside. It's going to look good for a while, but I'm telling you, it's the same thing for you, sister. So some man comes along, the godliest man that you can find. Guess what? You're still going to find a problem. There's still going to be problems and issues. Jesus said, you will have troubles in this life. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Paul said he wants to spare those who marry in this life from all the troubles, those who are single from marrying, because he said those who marry fall into many troubles in this life. Sister, I'm telling you, it's the truth. I want my own
troubles back. I want the troubles I had with my wife, Persis. I don't want to go through this with somebody else. I don't want to have to try to learn somebody else's problems and then to find out unmet expectations or the same thing. I don't want somebody to have to go through that with me, supposing I'm terribly disappointing to somebody in some way. Listen, God will never for long allow you to be disappointed. No one who hopes in Him will be put to shame or be disappointed, even though you may seem like you are for a time. And the only disappointment we ever typically face with God is when we're hoping for something temporal and God says, nope, or not yet. But sister, what I'm telling you is the truth. You know, you jump from one difficult situation to another. And I see people doing this and I don't want to do this. And you shouldn't want to do this either. Be very, very careful in your strong desire for a spouse. And to me, it does sound like you've been waiting a while. It does sound like you've been enduring patiently. It sounds to me like your husband has broken the marriage bond. Maybe the Lord's done the biggest favor for you ever by running him off. You have no idea what the end of his life is. Just as it says in 1 Corinthians 7, how do you know, wife, whether or not you will save your spouse? So it says, if they leave, let them leave. For God has called us to live in peace. So don't be in a hurry to take back that which God ran off. Don't be in a hurry like the Israelites to get back to Egypt. This is important, what I'm telling you, okay? This is really important. Don't be in a hurry to get back to Egypt. Be very, 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 very careful, sister. Very, very careful, okay? Hold on, I'm gonna hit pause for a second. Sorry, I was trying to park in a pretty tight spot here at the trail. And so I'm just wanting you to be very, very careful. I want you to understand, I know the pain. I know that difficult feeling that you have when, I mean, sometimes I look over at my bed and I visualize my wife being there and she's not. And it causes pain. Every time I touch a cup or I see something of hers, the other day I had to climb into her loft to do some organizing, and it's just like my wife is not here. It's not complete. I miss her. I want to be with her. And I love my wife and I want her back. She's the only one for me because I know all of her problems. I know all of her cute things and all of that. And I don't want to go through that with somebody else. I don't want to have somebody else's problems and do that kind of stuff. Now, if the Lord were to will that, and the Lord one day says to me, Michael, I gave her chance after chance after chance, so be it. But right now I'm holding with everything I have, and wisdom says, you know, wait, because I have a promise from God. And sister, you will see that my wife is going to come back from the dead. I know that I've heard from God. I don't know what you've heard from God. I know you have desires. I know they're real. The flesh has very strong desires. The heart has very strong desires. But I promise you, get on those knees every day and ask God for the grace. It's the only way that gets me through. Otherwise, I say, Father, I'm burning up with suffering. I'm burning up from want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He leads me beside still waters, and he makes me lie down in green pastures. That is the grace of God. That is the Spirit of the living Christ who can do it. I'm telling you, I couldn't make it, sister. I'm not nearly as strong as people think I am. The only strength in me is the Spirit of Jesus Christ to get through these times. That's it. And I just implore sisters like you to please be careful and please go head over heels for Jesus and beg him to satisfy you in every single way. Ask him to be your husband in the absence of one for as long as God is willing to do it, you know, and to help you and to give you that grace and to lead you not into temptation, but to deliver you from evil, and trust that he will keep you because he's kept many. And be so very careful about jumping into the arms of some red-blooded man. I'm telling you the stories I have heard, I have heard, I have heard, sister. They are horrible. They're horrible. I've heard so many thousands of stories from all over the world, from women who said, oh, I just knew this was the one. And look, mine was the one. And still God allowed her to fall away. It just goes to show you, just because something is God's will doesn't mean it's going to be pain-free. The cross was God's will for Jesus. Persecution was God's will for Jesus, being misunderstood, having people turn away from him. This was all God's will for Jesus. So Jesus is right in the center of God's will, and it's pain. There's suffering. So you are going to have to suffer. That suffering helps you to draw upon the Lord, remembering that the Father's number one perspective, sister, is getting you and I to heaven, not getting us comfortable here. And he will comfort you. I want you to know this. You will be comforted again, sister. Okay. And perhaps God is one day going to bless you again with marriage. All right. And God will give you, if you'll wait for him, somebody who will love you and will put him first and put you first, etc. I know that God will comfort you again. Whether that happens or not, I don't know. But I will tell you this. I know that God will comfort you again. You see, you're not going to suffer the whole time you're here. It's not all suffering, all suffering, all suffering. Just like God is not all wrath, or all judgment. God is kind and stern or strict. Romans 11, 20 through 22. He has two sides to him. And the Bible says, just as the sufferings of Christ overflow into our lives, so also the comfort of Christ overflows into our life. So you are going to be comforted again, sister. You are going to be comforted. This is not the end of the story, okay? It's not the end of the story for me either. God is going to comfort me again with my wife. I have no doubt. And I'm looking for it. I'm longing for it. I'm visualizing it, anticipating it. And to be with my wife again is going to be, God willing, it's going to be spectacular. But I will always remember that God gave me grace and he kept me and I was able to make it without her. And because of her, I put all of my focus on him. For example, right now I'm getting ready to go on the trail and I'm going to be in prayer almost the whole time about my wife. And here I am again, building my relationship with my Father through my wife. You see this? So God used, and if my wife was at home right now and everything was just wonderful and she's still sleeping or, you know, just having some coffee in the morning or whatever, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't be this fervent and hot in my prayer and my devotion time to the Lord on the mountain for this. I mean, who knows, maybe I would have something else, but it's this ebb and flow of God's comfort and God's sufferings, and you will be comforted again. I know that the Holy Spirit has wanted me to speak this to you. Please wait for him, sister. Please don't jump into the arms of another man. Please don't jump into the arms of desire for another man right now. I really believe it sounds like your husband's been taken from you. Let God take him. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble? So let him take away, knowing that he is loving towards you, sovereign towards you, and no doubt he is desiring, creating a stronger desire for him in the midst of this fire that you're going through. Sister, men will fail you. Men will fail you. Men are fallible. Failure is built into them. Flesh is built into them. Self-will is built into them. Only Jesus will not fail you. He's never failed me. I mean, wives have come and gone. I've had two wives that both of them have left me because of Jesus Christ. My own son, 18 years old, is the one who said this, Dad, you've been left twice for Jesus. Because of Jesus. I said, yes, Tyler, you're right. I have been left twice because of my love for Jesus. Please let us learn this lesson and be very careful. And listen, if you allow your flesh to burn in that desire and you constantly look at that empty pillow beside you, you will eventually give in and say, that's it. Just like I read in the book, The Abraham Story, where Charles Swindoll wrote this book about Abraham. And he's talking about when God takes something away from you. And he's talking about how many people look over at that cold pillow next to them. And they finally get just tired of waiting and they say, that's it, forget it. Anybody will do. Just anybody. And they go and marry somebody and then they end up in absolute misery. And then it's only a matter of time before they're left again. You know, alone again. And they have even more pain and it just compounds. So please be so careful. Learn everything you can from this journey. Ask the Lord, what was your responsibility in this? And my God, what is your will? How do you want me to respond? Sister, his will is best. His will is best. He knows the desires of your heart. And I think that you have a tremendous heart potential for God. I really discern you're sincere. You love God. You're trying to fight the good fight of faith. You're not asking just to satisfy the desires of the flesh, but you really are just desiring this companionship. And naturally, who wouldn't want, if they're alone, a godly spouse? It's normal. It's very normal. But sister, what's not normal is the supernatural grace that you can find from Jesus Christ to help you in every time of need. I'm suffering now every day and I have to go after God every day. God, give me the grace to stand. I cannot do it. I will fail. I will fail. Okay? I want you to know something. Okay? There are quite a number of women that have contacted me, like yourself, who are going through a divorce, just been through a divorce, or single and never been married, or whatever, who suggest like, wow, Michael, I'd love to have a husband. You know, a few of them have said this, okay? I'm making this point. My wife has left me. The 1 Corinthians 7:15 says, if the unbelieving spouse leaves, let them leave. I could just let them go. The believing spouse is no longer bound. I have grounds again for remarriage. The Puritans knew it. It doesn't matter what these legalistic humbug, you know, King James only defending Christians believe. It is absolutely crystal clear. God is not expecting me to be in bondage if my wife leaves as an unbeliever. You follow me? God does not hold me responsible for her apostasy. So now I'm sitting here, and I'm aware of all of these women who love Jesus because they've been following my channel for so long. They know my story. They've been through, like I say, a divorce or whatever. And so I literally could, if I wanted to, be so easily back in a relationship with somebody. And I could have any number of women to choose from. I'm not saying this to sound like it sounds. I'm saying this to make a point. Please stick with me. It's not like I've been left by a spouse and now Michael Criswell has no choices. Like I don't have any options. I am aware of easily in my inbox in just the last, let's just say the last month worth of emails, there are easily dozens of potential candidates for marriage, Christian sisters sitting in my inbox right now. If I wanted to pursue, open up that door. Okay. And I could within a matter of days, I could have a relationship started and have all those feelings going in your stomach and that sense of, oh, I'm comforted again in my flesh because now I have a relationship. Somebody's interested in me. I'm interested in somebody. And you know what? My wife left. Too bad. So sad. You know, she was the fool. She's the one that chose to eat the fruit and died. See you later. And I could have pain relief and watch this. And I do not do it. Instead, I suffer day after day after day after day. And oh, by the way, I'm in a very unique situation that I don't think very men in the world could say they've ever been in. Godly man who receives a godly spouse who falls away from the God they loved, who then says, you need a Christian wife. If you find somebody you like, I will talk to her to see if she's the right one for you. How many people in the world could put that card, if you will, on the desk, that hand of cards on the table? And yet, I do not move forward to relieve myself of pain. I do not open up any doors with any Christian sister. I have made it known to the world, and I've made it known to every woman I've ever talked to. There is no other woman for me. Her name is Persis Criswell. And you know something? As those words come out of my mouth every time, they come followed by a train of daily suffering. I am suffering for my sacrificial, undying, always hoping, never quitting love for my wife, Persis Criswell. Grace, I suffer. I'm asking you to join me and follow my example in suffering. Suffer in singleness before Jesus Christ. Suffer the loss of a marriage. Suffer for being rejected by the one you loved. Be willing to suffer. Join me in it. There is heavenly treasure and heavenly fruit on the other side of this suffering. And God will not allow you to suffer only, always, here in this life. God is going to comfort me again in my suffering, and he's going to comfort you again, sister. He is going to comfort you. You will once again be comforted, but watch this. When God comforts me again through Persis, do you think I have any worries? For example, if I try to comfort myself right now and say, you know what, Persis, you're right. I can tell you're just gone. Sweetheart, I loved you more than ever. I gave you everything. I endured 3.5 years of your apostasy. I waited for you. We went through this, quote, divorce process almost 3 times. Finally, I let you go. You're free. Go ahead, go. And instantly, I would be free, no longer a prisoner to the hope that she's ever going to come back. Although I would be sad, I'd be like, wow, I'm free. Right now, I'm not free, sister. I'm a prisoner. I'm a prisoner. I'm in bondage to Persis. And my wife is in this town right now. She has been for 121 days by the end of today. Yesterday was 120 days that she's been gone. She's in this town somewhere within just a few miles of me. She's still stuck here. She's in exile, in bondage. And how many ways could I try to describe the suffering of knowing that? And how easily I could just release myself and say, see you later. I'm just going to go find somebody else. I didn't choose to be divorced twice. I didn't choose to be divorced once. They left me because of my love and devotion to Jesus Christ. Supposing I went and comforted myself and I found, like, with all the wisdom I could muster up, a woman that I could see would be a very godly woman, a godly spouse. And I say, yes, she's the one. And I'm going to say, hey, by any chance, are you whatever? And start talking. And I comfort myself. It's only a matter of time before some difficulty arises. And then the doubts come into my mind. This wasn't of God. You put this together, not God. Sister, when my wife comes back, there will be absolutely, unequivocally no ability on planet Earth to ever doubt or suggest this was a coincidence. It will only be God that could do this. The God, 4:17 of Romans, who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they are. And I will never doubt again, just like I'm not doubting now, that my wife will come back, that she was the only one for me. Why? Because I waited for God to act in my behalf to put her together with me. Nobody on this planet, Grace, nobody on this planet can say to Michael, oh, you just chose my cause of your flesh. Oh, you just twisted the word of God so you could believe what you wanted. Oh, you're just a blah, 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 an adulterer. Nobody can tell me that. They can say it, but it's like water on a duck's back because I waited for God to act in my behalf. That's why even when Persis fell away from the faith, I have so much evidence that God put us together, I don't have to worry. I'm not worried about, man, did I make a mistake? Did I get ahead of God? Did Satan really dupe me up here? No, because I waited for God to act in my behalf. And then when God put us together, as you saw in the Walking with God to the Impossible series, he left a track record of all of his faithfulness to show that he alone did this. And wait until you hear, I'm not disclosing it yet, but wait until you hear some of the things I've discovered while Persis is gone about our marriage that are absolutely astonishing. See, this is my reward for waiting upon God. And because I waited for him to act in my marriage to Persis, I have evidence that he did it. There's no room for doubts. And now I know that I see God sent Persis out on 40 months to the day and all kinds of other little things that I can tell you later about, that I know that God did this. And if God did this, it's for my good and for Persis's good. And then when God comes to me and says, don't worry, you won't be put to shame. You're not going to suffer disgrace. Don't be afraid and cry. God has shown me this. You're now hearing about it in advance. Right now, I have absolutely not one single circumstance that I could ever look at and say, yeah, I think there's a good chance Persis may come back. No, on the contrary, as you will hear in the story, I will come forth as gold once the series starts back up. There's a lot more recordings to add. There are several things that have happened that completely contradict the idea that Persis could ever come back to me. It's just gotten worse and worse and worse against all hope. Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said to him, so shall your offspring be. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, being that he was 100 years old, and that also Sarah's womb was dead. Yet, he did not waver through unbelief, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded God had the power to do what he promised. Sister, God has the power to do what he promises you, and he promises you never will he leave you, never will he forsake you. He promises you, 2 Corinthians 9:8, that God is able to make all grace, all of you, abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, which is right now and right what now you're going through, you will have everything you need to abound in every good work, that you can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you, and that our God shall meet all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And if God is for you, who can be against you? And the widow who's left all alone, or the divorced woman named Grace, who puts her hope in God day and night, in God, praying to him day and night. You put your hope in him, and you watch what God can do in your life and heart. He will sustain you. He will comfort you again, sister. Don't compromise. Don't get ahead of God. Be very, very careful about sharing what you shared with me, with any man. Be very careful. You're in a vulnerable place right now, and a man who is evil, a man who's driven by his flesh, could easily take advantage of you. And you say, well, I know, but I won't take advantage. Listen, be very careful. Just be very, very careful about who you trust your heart and your vulnerability with. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ will never take advantage of you. He will never wrong you. He will never leave you. He will never be disloyal to you. He will never cheat on you. He will never disappoint you. Oh, he will stretch you. Oh, he will bring you into his suffering. He will bring you into fire, but he'll be in it with you. And you'll see that it's all about his love towards you. Okay? Sister, I have to run and go pray. I've already prayed for you yesterday. I prayed for you. Okay? And I'm going to pray for you again today. God will help you. Seek your comfort in God. God can make it feel as if you have 10,000 of the best, godliest men on earth you could ever have. And even then, God is better than that, because there is not one amongst the 10,000 who are infallible. God is infallible. Sister, God bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Bye-bye.